RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Star Spangled Val.
Oh, it's July.
Oh, thank God. What? The most grating political month of the year is over.
Why do you say that?
Pride is done.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh, God.
I know.
Just let it be done.
I'm so sick of seeing rainbows everywhere. Enough.
Especially since it's not... Rainbows used to be so beautiful to me. And then when I was younger and I started seeing the correlation between, the movement and the rainbow, I understood what it meant, the inclusivity. There are different people out there. You put all these different things together and you can create a rainbow. I understood it at one point, and then time goes on and you see how virulent and bitter this stuff is, and you're like, oh, how can you ruin something as beautiful as a rainbow?
I know. They ruin everything they touch. They literally do ruin everything they touch. And you know what bothered me more than anything, too, was like all the businesses that adopted this rainbow in their branding. Like, get it enough already. Like, why? You know, and then it makes me like kind of pissed because these people still complain, a lot of them, that they're oppressed when the entire country has just dedicated an entire month to how great you are and how inclusive we are of you. And it's just they're the privileged ones.
It's not even it's all the power brokers.
Yeah.
It's all of the social media companies. It's all the major search engines. It's all the almost every Fortune 500 company is trying to get in on the action. And it's so disingenuous.
I just don't want to, like, I mean, what's the big deal? Like, I feel like we've talked about this, and excuse the microphone, for goodness sakes. Ugh. I feel like we've talked about this before, but, like, I don't think normal, like, do normal gay people want this?
No, and that's the best thing about this is more and more, like, I want nothing to do with the production and the nonsense. And I'm actually tonight... I've got a lot of things going on, and in the second half of tonight's show, I'm doing a presentation on the Communist Front and Antifa, and especially Stonewall, because Stonewall itself, what everybody celebrated yesterday in New York City, is pretty much a 50-year-old hands up, don't shoot narrative. Pretty much.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's all going to get down to that, and I know that people who just want to actually get on with it, that they know that this has pushed far beyond tolerance and let's just all live our lives. It's pushed far beyond that. It's just nonsense.
It's like,
but now it's July.
I know it is July now. It's July 1st. We have America's birthday in a few days, which we're apparently, you know, we're evil for wanting to celebrate the actual birth of the country that these people are living in. But hey, you know, everyone's going to have to excuse me today. I'm not in the best of moods, and it's just all the stuff that happened over the weekend, plus something I'll share with you under the show. I'm just pissed. So you're going to get like an angry Tracy today.
Well, let me also just say that the officially the Continental Congress, the Second Continental Congress, declared our independence from Great Britain tomorrow on July 2nd. So that's when it voted to approve the resolution, the Lee resolution. So July 4th is the day of, hey, let's get together and blow some shit up. But tomorrow is Independence Day.
Well, fine then, Frank. Fine.
So just wanted to let
you
know.
I had no idea.
No, it's good. It's just some good history.
That is good history. Why do we celebrate it on the 4th?
Actually, I don't know why. Maybe that's when it was publicly read. I think it was read out loud for the first time. But I mean, John Adams even wrote. I think he wrote to Abigail after it was all done, saying that July 2nd would be marked as a major day of recognition for generations to come. He was off by 48 hours, but still.
Hey, close enough, right?
Yeah.
I just have you been paying any attention to Bitcoin at all?
I know that it's skyrocketing again.
My gosh. I keep on, I get my Coinbase notifications or whatever. I've got it right now at 10,548, up 63%.
Since when?
I don't know. I have to look at the graph more carefully. I'm not sure. But it's just up. I get notifications all the time. Up, 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 up. Now it's down. It was at 12,643 as a high. Let me see one day. Yeah, it's been...
Well, next time it crashes, I'll make sure to buy in.
Just buy some.
Yeah, next time it crashes,
This is why I don't understand. I know there's a lot of crypto fans out there, but it's tied to the dollar, so I don't really understand it. I get the independence of it. I get the blockchain. I get the technology. I understand it's, you know, free of central banks and blah, 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 blah. But I still don't. The value of a Bitcoin is tied to the dollar. So, yeah.
How's it really free then?
Exactly. Well, that was always my question. Nobody can ever answer it. Maybe someone can email us and answer it.
Maybe we can have a crypto / economic show one day with a nice guest.
That'd be nice. It's not my favorite topic, but think people would benefit from it for sure.
Well, we can always just do a half of the episode guest.
Do you have anyone in mind?
I think of a few people. Yeah, I'll think of some.
Awesome. All right. This tweet came out. I don't know if anybody has been paying attention over the weekend, but there was a really horrific attack on a very, very good journalist. How do you say his last name?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Andy No. And this tweet I just read makes it like just perfect. Gay Democrat Jesse Smollett beat himself up, staged a hoax, blamed conservatives, and the mainstream media was outraged for weeks. Gay conservative journalist Andy No was beat up by liberal terrorist group and the media is silent.
Wow. That's perfect.
Yep.
Wow.
He has a brain bleed in the hospital.
And not only that, but they were doctoring their stupid little milkshakes with quick dry cement to cause chemical burns.
You know, and this is the thing with this. Like, I'm enraged by this, and I think it's a turning point moment for a lot of people. Because this went trending to number one. It sat there trending for hours and hours and hours until Trump did the North Korea thing. We had Ted Cruz step out and talk about it. And, what's his name? Tapper, I think, right? Made a tweet saying like, oh, this is horrible. I can't believe this happened. But nobody on this did not spend more than 17 seconds on the mainstream media by any network. And people are starting to just get fed up. And the problem I have here, Frank, and tell me if you agree, is that these are little soy boy wussy losers, right? That go after people that are alone or, you know, journalists or smaller than them, and they gang up on them and they beat them up. And then real, you know, people on, I guess, the conservative side who are just fed up with it get angry, and they're the ones for the most part with the guns, and they're the ones for the most part in the military, and they're the ones for the most part who have cojones. And then they get together and they say that they're going to retaliate. And I think that that's exactly what is wanted here, the retaliation. Because then somebody retaliates, and what happens? Oh, it's the Nazis, they're out in full force, and it's Charlottesville all over again.
This is just what has always happened with the Communist Front. It's another big reason why I wanted to do this show tonight. It's the wilting flower. They go poke and prod. You can call them soy boys if you want. You can call them, you know, betas if you want. They are literally hyenas. They work in the same kind of pack mentality as hyenas do in Africa. It's the exact same thing that happens. They go, they circle around one person. One person comes in for a punch. And when the person starts lashing out, they run and disperse, and they're screaming, and they come back in, and they pick, and they're like little parasites. They are hyenas. And I'll tell you, if Andy No had a concealed carry permit, he was within his legal and natural right to have put down several of them.
He could have shot them all and it wouldn't have been considered murder. It was self-defense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he would have been within his right. And it just goes and makes me really upset. Well, not upset, but kind of like, you get that moment of pause to say, wow, these are the same people who who claim to own narratives like rape culture narratives and all that stuff. And meanwhile, here they are, ganging up on people at the same time. They are crafting their own weapons, their own primitive clubs, their bike locks, whatever the hell it is that they're doing, chemical attacks now. This is what they're doing. Bandana clad, anonymous little hyenas. And they have the nerve to talk about rape culture. And they're the ones that want people disarmed so that they can rape and molest people without having the overt threat of being warded off by someone who should have shot them dead.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They could have killed him. And what's the gun? I don't even know what the gun policy is in Portland. Do you know? It's probably liberal, so there probably isn't one.
It's probably stupid.
And
because what's the police policy? Where the hell are those?
You know what? Somebody shared a compilation. There were like 40 tweets of people just, you know, the police department. We're asking the protesters on the corner of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah to disperse.
Why are they tweeting?
I know.
I guess I'm a cop now.
Like, we're warning you, if you don't disperse, we'll have to arrest you. Like, on your on their Twitter account.
Yeah, if you don't disperse, we're going to block you on Twitter. That's how they're going to break up the mobs now. That's police work. But listen, I have to, the one thing I have not gone and dug in on for tonight's show yet is the Portland mayor. Because I remember, I don't remember what I remember yet, but I remember covering this guy, particularly with the last round mm-hmm. of violent protests out there in Portland. The mayor is an idiot.
They need to sue the living, Harmeet needs to sue the living daylights out of the city. Everybody. She just needs to sue everyone. That's the only thing that's going to get them to learn at this point is when they get sued into oblivion. Do you agree with me, though, that they want the confrontation so that then they can turn it around?
Of course. That's why it's so important for these types of movements to go and capture the media, to go and capture any kind of organization that is going to bring this stuff and control narratives and craft narratives. That's why it's so important. They need to have the cover there. And we brought this up with other subjects too, like immigration. They, with the caravans, they want bloodshed at the border.
Yeah.
Especially right before an election. They want this stuff.
I hope that mainstream America is waking up to this, because I know they're not seeing it. Like, they're not seeing Antifa beating the living daylights out of journalists on the streets, right? That just happened to be there covering their lawlessness. Do you see these people too? Do you see the people that they have recruited? They're all mentally unstable, like crazy. Ugh.
They are, it's 95% lanky, gaunt looking.
Yep.
Pale-faced white liberal twerps. Yeah. 95% of them are white liberal malnourished twerps.
Yeah, who have like purple or pink hair, wear glasses, have a pierced nose. Not like those things are indicative, but they all look the same.
Yeah, it's like a roving mob of that Rapinoe girl from the USA team soccer.
Yes,
that's it. It's like 10,000 Rapinoes running around.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to get an email from someone. How dare you insult my nose ring? I am not a liberal, and I have.
Hey, listen. Don't worry about the nose rings. Don't worry about your piercings or anything like that. We're just saying that this is almost like their uniform. We understand that different hair color and tattoo. I have tattoos.
Me too.
Okay. It. Everybody does them, but they've almost like adopted this stuff as uniforms. So it has nothing to do with you personally. Don't worry.
You know what I'm talking about. And not only that, but did you see, I pointed this out a while back. Like, it wasn't an accident that AOC was wearing all white in that picture.
No, because she the only thing that she didn't do was ride in and ride up to the chain link fence on a donkey with people carrying palms. That's the only thing she didn't do. Being waved with palms.
Oh, goodness. My goodness. Well, you know, I have a lot more to say about Antifa and this thing that happened to Andy over the weekend. I pray for him and hope he's okay. He's a really good journalist and he's really good at what he does. And he's a really good person too. I've had a couple conversations with him. He's great. So I just, it's horrible. It's funny too, because changing subjects just a little bit, Dan Bongino said something that I said last week on Twitter today. And he said, I will tell you exactly what he said, and I agree with him, and I think we talked about it on the show, to be honest. He said something to the effect of they're not able to hide it anymore, the left, what they're really after. Like I said, Obama used to try and hide, you know, what he was trying to do from the American people because he knew that we wouldn't accept it. Now, he says, the gift of the Trump presidency has been his ability to make the left show the world who they really are. They've always been dominated by radicals supporting violence, open borders, socialism, infanticide, and speech suppression. Now their rage has forced them out in the open.
The old saying goes that the Democrats are the evil party and the Republican Party is the stupid party. And what happened was when Donald Trump showed up, love him or hate him, I tend to be on the love side, he has forced the Republican Party, which is a normally stupid, spineless group of slugs, to not capitulate, to these worms. I mean, it's just really what happens. And because there's some actual resistance there, at least in a topical sense, at least in a media sense, there needs to be a dividing line between the two factions. And the only way to really cast a difference between the two and go out there and create a rallying cry for the left is to take the mask off, because otherwise it's
But don't they realize that there's only a small percentage of people that agree with this nonsense?
No, they don't realize that.
How do they not realize that, Frank?
They're nuts. This isn't rocket science. This ideology is very, very cult-like in its behavior. I know everybody throws the word cult around. They probably throw it around for conservatives, but you and I know conservatives as well as anybody can. How easy is it to get conservatives to agree on anything? It's like herding cats.
Yeah, and then somebody ends up hating somebody else in the middle of the conversation.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's why it's all about independence is not a cult. Independence is, can we all be good neighbors and make sure that there is little in our way to go out there and pursue a life we want as individuals and families and small communities, and just working out our differences and working out what we want from life on a really, you know, a personal level. They're something completely different. And because they think that the world can be made perfect, they are willing to do whatever the hell needs to be done to make that happen. And they will do whatever the hell needs to be done to whoever stands in their way for making it perfect. But the first big delusion is thinking that the world can be made perfect and they can actually equalize what has been endemic in the human condition since the dawn of man. They're absolutely insane.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, it's funny. I think I saw Candace had an interview with American Thought Leaders where she said something similar, how they think they can perfect humanity. So because of that, they're constantly trying to, you know, suppress and change and, you know, government and legislate and all
well,
that.
Well, it's also why escalation of force is the logical conclusion and next steps for them. And they're slowly escalating force. And that's why in the past, and when I say in the past, I mean the 20th century, we've seen tens, if not hundreds of millions of deaths to gulags and labor camps and the killing fields and firing squads and famine. And this is what communism, collectivism, totalitarianism brings to the table. And you need to be able to Stalin had to continuously kill everybody around him because he thought that they were turning on him. So it brings paranoia and it brings great, great levels of delusion.
What do we do? I know this won't happen. I'm just convinced of it at this point. You know, nobody ever wants to make predictions, but like, okay, so I think the two front runners are right now are they're positioning Kamala Harris. Do you agree?
Yeah, I guess so.
And then they're positioning Biden, obviously, if he can hold on to some sense of sanity for the next couple of months to get through some of this stuff. When does primary season begin for them? Do you know?
It would be spring of 2020, right? Didn't Trump win the nomination in like May or June of 2016?
Yeah. When is Dem primary? What state is first? There we go.
It definitely wraps in like spring.
It looks like it's going to be May. Come on. This is annoying. Oh, now they've declared candidates and this big list of all these losers. They're all losers. Kamala Harris's logo, have you seen it?
No.
It's...
Let me see.
Yeah, it's her name in blue, and then it says, for the people.
Let me see here. Kamala Harris for... Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
It's not a logo. It's just words.
Yeah. Bernie kept the same thing. It looks almost like Ron Paul's was in a way-ish. Eric Swalwell has a flag. He's done. And Yang looks like a tech logo.
Kamala, I think she'd have a better chance of winning if a sex tape of hers came out.
I wouldn't be surprised if one did. She just disgusts me. She's so contradictory. She's contradicted herself so many times at this point. Yeah, it looks like, come on. Here's the announcements. Why does it have to be so? Oh, here we go. February 2nd, Iowa. February 3rd, sorry. February 3rd, Iowa.
That's when it starts?
Yep. So we have.
Yeah.
We have another 6 months of this, 7 months of this nonsense. See, this is why I'm gonna tell everyone right now, follow the money with Harris. Just look at her FEC filings. I've been watching them very closely. They're interesting. I'm going to wait until there's more.
Go listen to her talking about how she so proudly wielded her power on local levels with prosecuting truant students
and their parents.
Yeah. Just go watch that and look at this woman. This is whenever I bring up that whole analogy of this is the type of person you find really milking their position at the YMCA for everything they have. This is the type of person I'm talking about. Local YMCAs are full of women like this.
That's gross.
Oh, full of women like this who that this is their universe. They are the master and commander. And my God, if they have authority over anything, you give them authority over a small crisis garden, they are going to become Mao.
Mao.
You give them authority over a small cabbage patch. They are going to become Mao Zedong.
I knew one of these women at an old job I used to have. She was just like that. Like, she got administration of some list or something that other people needed to use for their jobs. And oh boy, it was like the list of things you needed to complete to use the list at all. Just to make it was like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, the other thing there, too, is none of them, especially Kamala, especially Camel Joe's sister, she would never, ever, people like her would never want to even try for the presidency unless the presidency itself has been perverted into some kind of an imperial post. Because as the Constitution is written, if she was actually restrained by that Constitution, it would be a very unattractive post. It really would. Oh, it would be very unattractive because she wouldn't be able to do anything.
On the second day, on January 20th, I will repeal the Second Amendment via executive order.
She said that?
Basically, she said she would repeal the right to bear arms with an executive order.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm dead all serious, right, well, Frank. I'm not exaggerating this at all.
Oh, man. Oh, it would be. I would. You know, there's. Never mind.
They're like, no, I want to know what you were, because this is the thing about her that really just drove me crazy. Like, this is what she does. She says, if they won't do it, I'll do it by executive order. That's her mentality.
My mentality is she is such a passive aggressive, smug.
Ooh.
That I I don't want to be very polite with her at all.
No, I don't.
It's almost like spending time talking about why she's off base and why she's a power hungry hippo is it's a waste of time. And you only feed into those types of smug, manipulative types of people, especially the power girl types. She's a power girl, don't you know?
Did you?
One more thing, because you've noticed her and the way she acts in those Senate committees where she's asking these ridiculous lines of questions, and she sits there with her chin on her thumb, looking at you with her half closed eyes, like she's examining the whole person. She just knows what she's just so above you. I can't stand her.
One word, please. God. Yes or no. Yes.
One word. No, yes or no, please. Great, great. No, no, that's all nonsense. I wish I could be the person she questions. I would love to be questioned on anything by that woman.
Did you see what Ali questioned her on over the weekend?
No.
Ali Alexander, he runs Culture, C-U-L-T-T-T-U-R-E, Culture. It's a political strategist. He said, listen, not for nothing, but I'm an African-American. Kamala Harris is not African American. She's
Indian and Jamaican, right?
Yes. And she said she was bused from into school in San Francisco or San Diego or wherever. And they debunked that noise too. So what happened? All of the left starts coming out. All of the candidates, Elizabeth Warren, everyone. We must not allow this racist attack against Kamala Harris to stand. We must be here. I'll read to you exactly what Elizabeth Warren said in her behalf. All Ali said was she shouldn't be allowed to use, you know, our identity. It says after Ali Alexander went viral exposing Kamala Harris's false history, media tried to counter the story with the conspiracy theory hoax. They were calling him a birther. So I'll just read this. When prominent conservative Ali Alexander went viral exposing Kamala Harris's lies about her ties to the history of African-American suffering, the media tried to counter the story with a conspiracy theory. Enter Russia-obsessed conspiracy theorist Carolyn Orr. Orr tweeted a baseless conspiracy theory. A lot of suspect accounts are pushing the Kamala Harris is not black narrative tonight. It's everywhere and has all the signs of being a coordinated artificial operation. Based on Orr's tweet, far left bloggers at Vox, The Hill, The New York Times, and many other websites wrote stories with reporting like this. Notice how they didn't write any stories about the journalist with the brain bleed. Within minutes of the original tweet about Harris's background being sent, a network of bot accounts associated with trolls began to spread the message across Twitter.
Oh my God, bot accounts. Oh no.
Yep. Twitter tells me, another tweet from Donnie O'Sullivan says, Twitter tells me the accounts attacking Harris's race were not bots. Quote, we saw no coordinated use of automation during recent debates.
Attacking. Why? Hey, there you go. Once again, propaganda built into everything.
Yep.
Is questioning an attack? A question is then an attack.
Yeah.
This is why that when they say that speech is violence, they really mean it. They mean that speech is violence, because if you're inquisitive, you are an attacker.
Yeah, you're not allowed to question anything.
Even though her own parents have shamed her for pandering on the marijuana issue and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Her father came out very strongly against it, and that was a lie too. Remember they debunked that too. Those songs didn't even exist in the time she was in college.
Yep, the only thing she's good at is
wearing knee pads.
We'll see. We'll see when the tape comes out.
Look,
I will watch it and I will let you know what she did right and wrong.
The other thing about her too is that she champions Nicki Minaj. What's her name? Cardi B.
Oh, the other rapist.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Cardi B, the woman who admits to drugging men and then raping them while they're passed out, Cardi B. That's her champion. She holds her up on a pedestal. She dances to her music. She talks about how much she loves it. And then we find out just last week that Cardi B was indicted on several felonies for assault.
They're a wonderful group of people. and they stick together. And I'm not saying that outside of them, there's not really gross people everywhere. But as far as their togetherness goes, boy, oh boy.
There was a whole thread I did about Cardi B and how the left holds her up. And they were like using her as like a way to kind of be hip and, you know, with it. So I did a whole thread exposing Cardi B and then taking Chuck Schumer. And I forget the two politicians it was now. I think it was Chucky Boy and someone else. And they were having a conversation with one another on Twitter about whether or not it would be okay for them to retweet her, given the background and what they know about her. Is it okay? I really, really want to retweet Cardi B right now. And then the other one would respond, go ahead. If you do it, I'll do it. I'll do it after you. And she came out in support of Bernie Sanders and like didn't even understand. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know how much. And then she was in the same video, was complaining about her taxes being too high.
I am a great fan of Cardi B. Cardi B is a she is a wonderful American. She knows what the people want.
Cardi B is endorsing Bernie and complaining about her taxes in the same video.
Cardi B will raise the overall IQ level of my followers by at least 58%.
That's another thing. I know we did the debate show on Friday, and a lot of people really liked that show, Frank.
I liked it, too.
Yeah, me, too. I am, again, very down today, so I don't sound like myself. I'm sorry. I know that today's not going to be like that, you know, jump up and down show for folks, but I just was thinking about, like, that hand flailing around in the air, the screaming at you about everything. Like, there's not one sane candidate. There's really not one on the left.
Did you notice also, because it really seems to me like Cory Booker went and got a tan. I think he really he looked darker than normal.
Oh, God.
He really looked darker than normal. I bet you any money he went out and got some sun so that he could he can really look like the only black guy on the stage.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't get a spray tan.
Oh my God. If he went the spray tan route, that would just be pathetic.
I'm dead serious because you know he's in Jersey.
He's got this blotchy kind of look to him. Maybe it is a spray tan. I don't know. I'm looking at his face right now.
Don't hurt yourself.
Don't worry. It's not. Oh, thank you. It doesn't look too. It doesn't look too even.
I could picture them right now. He would be yelling at them, and then he had a sexual accuser as well. Remember?
Yeah, the bathroom accusations.
Mm-hmm. AOC came out yesterday or today? Actually, no, yesterday. About
really?
Yeah, about
she came out again.
She came out again about an attack to Ivanka. She attacks Ivanka Trump. She says, oh my God, they're going back and forth with it now. Piers Morgan stands up for her. She says something to the effect of Ivanka Trump is not educated enough to be at the G20 summit.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh. This is a girl who does her Instagram live videos and guys, I'm wearing, I have a garden on my porch and I look, my collard greens are coming up out of the dirt. She doesn't even know that collard greens are educated.
I'm going to pause it for 1 second. All right. I can't find it, but I'm just going to read this. People went after her after she came after Ivanka Trump for being at the G20 as an advisor to President Trump. Let's get off the table here that Ivanka Trump is one of the most intelligent, poised, classy, brilliant women that I've ever seen in my life. I have studied a lot about her. I've watched, I've watched her for a while because she's one of the few people I used to call a role model. She leans a little bit too far to the left for my liking. So in terms of politics, we probably don't align, but to call her unintelligent after she graduated, I think, from Wharton with a degree in economics and also another school, I forget which one, an Ivy League. When AOC herself, like, really? Really? AOC? She says this because everyone came after her about being a waitress or a bartender. She's like, they're like, well, you're a congresswoman and you were just a bartender like less than a year ago. She says, as always, I'm proud of my work in restaurants. I also worked for Senator Ted Kennedy, piloted literacy projects in the South Bronx, studied developmental economics.
That worked out well.
Yeah, she did really good there because, yeah. Mm-hmm. Studied developmental economics in West Africa, served as an educational director, and won international science competitions before I ran for office, too.
What is it? This sounds like the resume that I would put together if I was basing all of my accomplishments on like mock UN resolutions. Yes. I made in sixth grade.
Yes.
Like, what is she talking about, West Africa? What is she talking about?
Did she go to West Africa? Did she go there?
Was she going back and forth between West Africa and Metropolitan Avenue? I don't understand with the bars out there. I don't get it.
She goes on, Frank. She says, working people that the GOP dismisses just a waitress, cook, etc., contain multitudes and are just as capable and intelligent as anyone. Classism, judging someone's character by their income, is disappointing to see from them. What is so appalling to the GOP about having an honest job? She goes on, some of the most nuanced, intelligent, and grounded people I've ever met weren't at Boston University, MIT, or Harvard events when I was a student. They were the plumbers and waitresses I hung out with at happy hour who had ferocious intellectual curiosity and a lived context of the real world. She never hung out with plumbers and waitresses at happy hour.
She's an asshole.
Plain and simple.
She's a complete asshole. And not only that, but what does all of that patting yourself on the shoulder have to do or even help your case in saying that Ivanka Trump is not qualified intellectually or educationally
to be an She has done multinational global business deals and she's not qualified to stand at the – she speaks like four languages. She's not
She belongs to the same group of people AOC does, like Chelsea Handler, who go and make fun of Melania Trump for her accent and maybe her, you know, her some of her limitations with English as you know, completely forgetting that she – speaks five or seven languages, yeah. Whereas Chelsea Handler can only slur in one. And that's just exactly what we're dealing with here. So she goes and tries to pick a fight with Ivanka Trump and bringing up academic pedigree as a background, even though she has that as well, Ivanka. And then she has to then spend the rest of her time defending how much of just a bottom feeder she has been and why bottom feeders could be really good legislators.
And then she shares also her voting results over Anthony Pappas. 110,000 people voted for her, and she thinks she rules the world now.
But that's the other thing there, too. She's talking about the 14th district. Is 14th or 17th? I'm the 17th, I think.
14th district.
Okay. She's the 14th. I'm 17. But she talks about she's supposed to be representing. I don't think that this is what people in the 14th district are talking about every day. She just went and got a majority to go and vote her in, and then she has completely went off the deep end talking about issues that are outside of the realm of anything in Queens. She's not representing her
district.
She's
not supposed to be anyway. This is what she says. This is what she says. Hold on. Let me. She says, it may be shocking to some, but being someone's daughter actually isn't a career qualification.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it hurts our diplomatic standing when the president phones it in and the world moves on. The U.S. needs our president working the G20. Bringing a qualified diplomat couldn't hurt either.
Yeah, going on a successful tryout and a successful audition with the Young Turks is not a qualification either.
What bothers me is it like literally reeks of jealousy, this tweet. Reeks of it.
They're all jealous people. They talk about greed constantly, but socialists are very inept people. They're talentless to the very core. She doesn't have any ideas. She's talking about how to dampen other people's ideas, how to skim off of the top of somebody else's good idea that can make a buck. How can she skim off of other people's ideas? They're all talentless assholes.
Crazy. Oh, goodness. Here's what we're going to do, Frank. We're going to talk about something really serious now, and I'm going to stop. We're going to stop when we're done. I asked if it was okay for me to talk about this today because it's really heartbreaking to me. And I talked to Frank about it last night. But I don't know if many of you guys know that or watch the Hagman Report. Have you ever seen the show, Frank? You've watched it, right?
When you and I started getting to know each other, that's when I actually found the Hagman Report because you guys did so much work together.
Yeah, so I was on, in my development, I guess you could say, over the years, I used to listen, well, I still do listen to the Hagman Report like every day. And I made it like a goal of mine when I first started. I really wanted to be on the show with them because their interviews are just spectacular. They give their guests all the time in the world to speak. You learn so much from their guests. And over the course of time, I was invited to go on. I did the first show. They asked me to come back, and I developed a friendship with Joe and Doug over the time that we have known each other, which has been a couple of years now. And Doug Hagman is one of the most beautiful, amazing people I've ever met in my life. He reaches out to me all the time. We talk about all kinds of things. He's like a second father to me in a way. Like, he's really, really amazing. I'm just blessed to know him. And I got a call from him last night that really just messed me up pretty bad. It was that Joe Hagman, his son, passed away over the weekend. And it was because, I believe that Doug is sharing the reason. A couple months ago in April, Doug did a video explaining that Joe would no longer be with the show because he was having a problem with substance abuse. And he went on doing the show on his own. And so to lose Joe, who I've spent time in person with and so many great conversations, is just, it's a loss for everybody. It's sad. And I'm just really messed up about it. Like, I'm a lot more emotional than I expected that you never know what you're going to feel like when this stuff happens, but sometimes this stuff is really close to home and I'm just not myself today. So we'll say a silent prayer for the Hagman family. Sad.
It's a awful, awful news to hear. And like you said, it's hit home for me over the years. This is going to hit home for a lot of people, especially you. I know how strong that connection was. I was an observer of it. I've never met Joe or Doug, but I'm just I'm sorry, very sorry to hear about this.
Yeah, it's horrible. They've done so much for me. Like, I don't even, I'm not, obviously I'm not going to sit here and list all the things that they, I just know out there, guys, that this family, the Hagmans, Doug in particular, has done so much for me and has been there for me. And I'm just honored that I know him. And Joe was great. And, you know, I think this sort of a thing touches a lot of families in this country. And it's one of those silent things. It's like you'd never expect so-and-so to have this problem, but they suffer in silence. And it's something that, like, you know, we try really hard to fix. And it ties into everything, not to make it a political thing, but it really does tie into everything. Drugs, guns, illegal immigration, all of it all ties together. And it's just a sad, sad thing to deal with. So my huge condolences to the entire Hagman family.
Yes.
And that's, I guess, the way we will end today. You have been listening to a sad edition of the Dark Delight podcast with
Star Spangled Val.
It's okay.
I said to myself inside, maybe I should just change the name real quick.
No. Wouldn't be the Dark to Light podcast if we did anything like that, would it now?
Oh, yeah, because then we'd be going from light to dark.
Yeah, we don't want that. We don't want that. I'll be okay. It'll be all right. I just had to get that out because, you know, it sucks, but it's okay.
Well, Tracy, you already know. You call me whenever the hell you need me, and you have a great support system over there, a great family, and you got good friends, and yeah. When I hear stuff like this, I wish I knew the people directly affected better to actually offer up something, but I don't know the Hagmans, so I just want to offer up my my thoughts.
Thank you. That's nice. I'll be all right. I just need to, you know, shake it off. I'm leaving tomorrow to go back home and get back to work. I have really exciting stuff in the works for everyone out there. Like, super exciting. I can't wait. It's almost done, and I'll be able to share it with everybody when it is. And I'm really anxious about it, and I've been working really hard, and vacation was fantastic, but I am ready to get home and get back to work. Like, you know, obviously we've done the show, but I haven't like spent 12 hours in front of a monitor like I normally have. So I want it back. I'm done. No more vacationing. And I'll see you in a couple weeks, Frank.
What do you mean a couple weeks?
I mean, it's July 1st. I'm coming there the week of the 20th.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, physically see me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Oh, you thought we were going to.
I was like, wait a second. Are we taking a couple of weeks off?
No, of course not. If I was going to take any weeks off, it would have been this one, you silly face.
Yeah, I know. And I was actually, I was wondering, I was like, damn, well, Tracy, she goes. But then again, this is why we work so well together. I don't know how I would be able to go completely on a vacation myself. But
yeah, you wouldn't be able to. I'm telling you.
It'd be tough. Yeah. It'd be really tough. And on the road, if I were like went off or somewhere like that, I would just take equipment with me and I would just have Lauren be my co-host for a week. And we would just do a couple shows or something.
You guys have I love when Lauren's on. I love it. It's so funny when you randomly call her.
I got to call her more. I got to call her up more in the middle of shows.
As long as she's embarrassing you, it's all good.
Yeah. Well. I used to think nothing embarrasses me.
No, you and get embarrassed sometimes. You can hear it.
I just like, all right, well, next subject.
It's funny. She's great. Sometimes she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, listen, everybody out there, since the main topic of today was the conflict in the streets, if you want any kind of expansion on that as far as media analysis and the history. I'm going to be digging into not only some links that I have been bookmarking over the last couple of days and hours, but I also have books that I have been post-it marking and everything that we're going to go in tonight to talk about the Communist Front and why this is just very a cyclical inflammation, societal inflammation that we're looking at here. And it's getting inflamed even more because of what Tracy so eloquently brought up through Dan Bongino and other things, because the left is being forced to take their masks off. They cannot sit there and give you the very, very comforting lies that they are moderates when they are really out to fundamentally change the country. I mean, Barack Obama used that exact phrase. Bernie Sanders, in that first debate of his, came out to say we're looking to recreate a new kind of America, our vision for America. They are trying to take this down to the studs. So there's going to be more of that on tonight's show if you wanted to hang out with me.
You know, for real, definitely watch it, because when you do those shows, they're really good. Whenever you dive into something for that long, it's always really good.
I'm happy because I'll also have time to take calls. So if people out there are seeing things I'm not, they want to add things, perspective, whatever the hell it is. We have so many different people that watch from, this show too. We have a lot of audience overlap, but just so many different generations of people out there who have seen things and they can spot the trends because they lived the trends. I love hearing from people.
I know. You get good callers for sure. So. Well, good. Everybody watch the Quite Frankly podcast. What time?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. And you guys can also catch the Dark to Light podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Wednesday.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.